The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. And for those of you on the West Coast, good morning. And every place in between, and also good morning to you. Here in cloudy New Jersey, and it's going to snow again on tonight into tomorrow. So we're just getting used to it and adapting. I want to thank you all for listening in today. Another episode of Step Up and Play Big. And as we've done in the past, we've got another great show today with a very special guest, Bill Erfurth. Who's here to discuss his work in the law enforcement area and how that led to a career in the film and documentary business, and more importantly, his work with the film Heroes Behind the Badge. As I mentioned in prior weeks and every show, what I want you all to do is to think about calling in if you have a question. The number is 1-866-472-5790. And for those of you who are a little shy and bashful about calling in, my email address is chris@chrisruisi.com. We'll be watching that during the show. So please feel free to raise a question. My guest today is had 26 years of highly decorated service in the Miami-Dade Police Department. And in 1997, he was assigned as a commander of the Tactical Narcotics Team, the TNT. This unit became the most productive unit and was recognized nationally as one of the top units in the country. As its leader, he was responsible for the supervision of 130 officers. Bill worked on significant cases, including undercover narcotics, infiltrating the mafia, completed his career as the commander of this multi-agency violent crime task force. Now, in 2013, Bill produced the film Heroes Behind the Badge, Sacrifice and Survival, and the follow-up award-winning 2012 film, also entitled Heroes Behind the Badge. Bill is president and director of the Modern City Entertainment Company. His duties include investor relations, establishing the company's organizational and financial structure, as well as strategic and production planning, and developing and producing the company's slate of movies and TV shows. Good afternoon, Bill, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Good, good, real good. And I got to tell everybody, full disclosure, Bill is down in Florida where it is sunny, and he told me that he just got off the tennis court. So we're gonna look the other way on that and spend our time asking Bill some good questions to help us all understand what he's done and how he's moved his career into something extremely important, something extremely meaningful, and something all of us need to know about. Bill, you, again, spent 26 years with the Miami-Dade Police Department. You had a very extensive career and background with them. What did you learn from that, and how did that prepare you for the career path you followed in terms of radio, film, and documentaries?
Well, you know, Chris, honestly, if someone had come up to me 20 years ago and told me that I'd be doing what I'm doing today, I'd have probably asked them how much crack they'd been smoking, because, you know, it was really never an aspiration or a dream for me, quite frankly. You know, from about the time I was 15 years old, my mother's sister married a cop out in Colorado, and I got the opportunity to go on a ride along with him a couple of times. And as a 15-year-old wide-eyed teenage kid, we had gotten involved in some crazy stuff during his shift, and I thought, wow, you actually get paid for this kind of entertainment. So, you know, I pursued that and ended up here in South Florida in Miami. And I was just fortunate to be able to do a lot of things throughout my career. And, You know, the one thing about being a cop, and you hear this so many times from different people within law enforcement that make these comments and say, you know, if it weren't for this job, I don't know what else I'd be doing. And I used to shake my head at that because in law enforcement, and you are exposed to more things than your average person will ever see in a lifetime. And because of those experiences, whether good or bad, mostly it's all about death, destruction, and despair. But nonetheless, it's a learning experience, and the opportunities that present themselves along the way, you know, ultimately for me to be where I'm at today, those real world, real crazy police experiences, working drugs, working undercover, and working on the tactical team, all of those became valuable to Los Angeles, to the film industry. And so I started off doing that while I was still on the job, kind of as a consultant and technical advisor to the studios.
Mm-hmm. Bill, you mentioned something before about, you know, as a police officer, and the reason I'm asking this question is because I want to build up to the Heroes Behind the Badge project. But as a police officer, law enforcement professional, you mentioned before that you're exposed to death, destruction, and despair. How does a law enforcement professional insulate themselves from that so that they don't bring it home, or they don't bring all of it home with them?
Well, you know, that's been the million-dollar question for a long time, and I think a lot of it really depends on each person's will and personality and strength, I suppose. You know, everybody's different in the way that they react and handle stress and traumatic incidents. And, you know, fortunately for me, you know, what I draw from is my childhood and a strong family background and support. But, you know, within law enforcement, and again, you know, using those terms, death, destruction, and despair, that's all you really do deal with. You know, every once in a while, there's some rewarding things that may come along, or you might be recognized for doing something above and beyond. But, you know, an analogy that I use oftentimes with people is, you know, your average person in this country, during their entire lifetime, may see perhaps 20 dead people in their life, and most of those people are lying in a casket at a viewing, or maybe you might see somebody killed in a car accident. You know, you're a cop in a big city. You know, I can tell you from my experiences, you know, I would see 20 dead people in a month, and you know, that's not all cleaned up and dressed up in a casket. That's in every kind of dismembered, heinous type of situation you could imagine. So, you know, you become very calloused and cynical with how you react to certain things and certain people in doing that job. And quite frankly, the reason for that is because it's kind of self-preservation. It's a defensive mechanism for you to be able to deal and cope with those kind of things. And I always found, for me personally, Chris, that I had all these outside interests going on, very athletic. I played hockey. I got involved in doing just like what you're doing. I got talked into doing a police radio program, and I had a lot of friends outside the realm of law enforcement, so that when you did go out and socialize, you weren't just with other people from the job, which oftentimes happens, and then all you're talking about are those kind of things. So it's good to have some kind of distraction and something else to be involved in, because law enforcement traditionally suffers from some of the highest rates of alcohol, suicide, and divorce, simply because of the things that you do deal with, and it is tough not to bring it home.
Okay. Now, when I was doing my research for our conversation today, I came across a video on YouTube, and there was a quote on the video which is appropriate to what we've been talking about here. Is the job worth the sacrifice? And my question to you, Bill, based on your experiences and other law enforcement professionals that you know, is the job worth the sacrifice that you all personally go through and make every day, and that your families go along with you on?
You know, the answer to that for me is yes. I would say that most people that get involved in law enforcement get involved in that career choice because it is a career, it's a calling.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, it just seems more recent now. Maybe it's the new attitude of younger people, perhaps almost the entitlement generation, that some of the folks getting into law enforcement now are just taking it as a job. And there's a huge difference in someone that gets into law enforcement and takes that career path as a job versus a career, a calling.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, is it worth the sacrifice? It was worth the sacrifice because for me it was personally rewarding. It was a calling. I think that just like going into the military, it's a very similar type of mindset, for sure. I think you have to be just a little bit of an adrenaline junkie. I know I was definitely an adrenaline junkie as I was younger, and so are the folks that go into the military. So I would say, yeah, it's worth the sacrifice. Is it worth the sacrifice for your family? Possibly. I mean, it does take a toll on the family in a lot of ways. I mean, some of the kids get a little bit of, of teasing and heckling from their schoolmates because you might be in law enforcement and those kind of things. But at the end of the day, it's a noble profession, I think.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. My youngest son is in the military, and when I would chat with him about why he made that choice to do that, it came down to, well, somebody's got to do this. Why not me?
Right.
And that's pretty much the prevalent attitude among he's a pilot. Among the other pilots that I've met who are his friends, whether they be flying fixed wing or helos and things of that nature. It is truly, as you said, a calling to be involved in order to serve. And I guess, part of the reason why we wanted to have you on today was the general public doesn't appreciate that sacrifice and service. They see you in a uniform. They see you sitting in your car, wherever you may be, and they just assume, well, he's there and that's that. But it's like the tip of the iceberg. What we all see on the street when you're out there is minuscule when you take into account all that you just discussed and that went behind you, that goes behind you in terms of how you cope with it, how you distract yourself, how your family works with you and helps you get through the things that you do get through, that you experience. I think that's a fair assessment. Do you agree, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, and we'll get to these documentary films, but, a lot of the reason that we made these movies was to reach out to the general public to change perceptions and attitudes and
yep.
change those perceptions and attitudes towards greater respect and appreciation for the sacrifices within law enforcement. One of the statistics that a lot of people, and I get this, and I throw this out to the media every time I do a TV interview or something like that, and I said, in America, every 53 hours, a law enforcement officer is killed in the line of duty. And I would tell you, 8 out of 10 people are knocked back by that statistic and ask you again, are you serious? And people don't quite get that, but, each year, there's more and more names added to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Wall, and there's nearly 20,000 names on that wall today.
Okay. We're coming up on break in about, 45, 50 seconds, but we've been talking with Bill Erforth from Heroes Behind the Badge, and we've been kind of setting the groundwork in our initial part segment here about how Bill got into law enforcement, the types of things he experienced, and so forth. And when we come back, what we're going to do is get into what Bill just mentioned about the public's perception and appreciation or lack thereof of what our law enforcement professionals all around this country do on a day-to-day basis, and talk also about the National Law Enforcement Memorial, which is in Washington, D.C., and has some 20,000 names on it. So I want you to wait there till we go to break, and we'll be back in a little bit and to continue our discussion with Bill. Thanks, everybody. Stay there.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book. Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And hello again, everybody. It's Chris Ruisi here with my guest, Bill Erfurth. And we're talking about law enforcement, and we're going to get into the documentaries he created of Heroes Behind the Badge. For more information about Heroes Behind the Badge, there is a website, and the web address is heroesbehindthebadge.com, and we'll talk about that later also. And for those of you who want more information about my book and myself, please feel free to go to chrisruisi.com and look for that website. And when you get there on the homepage, there is a sign up for my Monday morning wake-up call, which comes out every week at about 7:15 in the morning. It's waiting for you when you get to your desk, and provide you with some expertise and guidance and suggestions on what you can do to raise your bar of performance. And talking about raising your bar of performance, my guest today demonstrated that from where he took his career as a law enforcement officer right up to where we are today with a full-scale entertainment company. Bill, at the end of our last segment, we talked about the public's perception of law enforcement officers. Let's drill down into that. And you mentioned about 54 law enforcement officers die every hour, or every 54 hours, I'm sorry, a policeman or a law enforcement professional is killed in our country. So let's start off with the public's perception and their appreciation of what you folks do.
Yeah, you know, and that is a startling fact. Every 53 hours in America, a law enforcement officer is killed somewhere in this country. And, you know, your average person has very little interaction or dealing with law enforcement, and it may be a negative experience of getting pulled over for a traffic citation or something like that, or perhaps, you know, you've had your car broken into or your home. And so even those experiences, interacting with the officer is negative. And, you know, your average person is not exposed to the day-in and day-out activities that oftentimes law enforcement officers are exposed to. And you know, we set out to make people realize this, and it happens everywhere in America. You know, law enforcement has to play by the rules, and law enforcement have jurisdictional boundaries, but criminals don't. And criminals go everywhere. It's just not a big city or a inner city problem. It happens in small town America. It happens in our national parks. It happens everywhere.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the National Law Enforcement Memorial down in Washington, D.C., which I have to admit was not aware that it existed there. Let's how you got involved with that.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, just like Washington, just like the Vietnam Veterans Memorial or the Washington Monument, you know, you've got all of these monuments and memorials in Washington, D.C., and I use the Vietnam Veterans Memorial because it's very similar. It's a wall that's filled with names that honor those that, fell during the Vietnam era. The National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial is in Washington, D.C., in Judiciary Square. It's two long, winding walls that circle a reflection pond in the middle. There's 20,000 names that are on that wall of law enforcement officers that have died in the line of duty in this country. And each and every year during National Police Week, actually JFK, back during the time when he was president, had named May 15th as National Peace Officers Day. And ever since then, May 15th, people are supposed to fly their flags at half-mast in honor of the sacrifices within law enforcement. And in 1992, the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial was built there in D.C. And so each year during National Police Week, which is the week of May 15th, law enforcement officers from all over the world attend for various events. And I can tell you last year, there were 40,000 people in attendance for the candlelight vigil ceremony where the new names are read that will be added on the wall at that time. And all the different dignitaries that show up, generally the President of the United States is in attendance along with some of the top directors of the different federal agencies and local and state law enforcement. And then there's a particular ceremony that's also done that's put on by the Fraternal Order of Police, and that's done on the steps of the United States Capitol. It's a week full of different events honoring law enforcement, not only honoring the fallen, but also honoring the heroic deeds that officers throughout the country have done.
Okay. Now, what's the relationship between the memorial and the heroes behind the badge? They may not be a formal relationship, but how do the two work in sync together?
So Heroes Behind the Badge is our full-length feature film documentary that we've done, and we've got two of them out there now. That relationship is we produced those two films in partnership with the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, and the way that that had come together is Craig Floyd is the chairman of the National Law Enforcement Memorial, and Craig had approached me about 6 years ago when I had retired from the Miami-Dade Police Department and said, you know, no one's ever done a documentary film that really portrays the perils and the sacrifices within law enforcement and also features the events of National Police Week here in D.C. And we got talking about it, and he was interested and kind of pushing me that way, and I was interested. And you know, we talked about it for a couple of years before it really kind of came to fruition. And really what was the icing on the cake with that whole thing is in 2011, Roger Castillo and Amanda Hallworth from the Miami-Dade Police Department were both shot in the head serving a warrant. Both of them were friends of mine. Both of them had worked for me in the Narcotics Bureau and in the Fugitive Unit. And when that had happened, I called Craig up in Washington, D.C., and I said, all right, let's really sit down and put our heads together on making this movie. I want to make this movie, and I want to honor Roger and Amanda in this first movie. And so that's how it came together, and that's how we set out. So we're partners with them. 50% of the proceeds from the film, whether it be the screenings that we're doing around the country or the DVDs and Blu-ray that are available, or you can get your copies on iTunes or Amazon for that matter, 50% of the proceeds go back to support the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial and the families of the fallen.
Okay, now, this is an obvious question, but what's the underlying, what's the message, the underlying message and reason for the two documentaries?
So, you know, we hit on that a little bit earlier. The real message and the intent in making these films was to change perceptions and attitudes, to reach out to the general public, for them to be more aware, to have a greater understanding and greater respect and appreciation for the sacrifices within law enforcement. You know, we made the first film. It was released in the fall of 2012. It was called Heroes Behind the Badge, and it followed five different stories from small town to big town America across the United States. And there were stories about law enforcement officers that had been killed in the line of duty or critically injured. And it's extraordinarily powerful. We didn't sugarcoat it. We didn't make it for Hollywood. We made it real, raw, and powerful to be a wake-up call. And in many respects, we know from the reaction to the film that it's been an eye-opener for the general public. It's been surprising to us, I suppose. Maybe it shouldn't have been, but nonetheless, it's really been well-received within the law enforcement circles to the point now that the state of Texas kind of spearheaded it. They were the first ones to write it into their statewide policy that the first film be shown in every police academy and training center in Texas. There's been thoughts about putting it in every high school in Texas to change youthful minds and attitudes. So they were the trendsetters, and a number of states have followed suit. I can tell you that hundreds of police academies across the United States are showing that film now, as well as criminal justice programs. But Chris, the most rewarding thing with the first film, and ultimately all of these things, but this in particular that I'm about to share, is why and what it inspired us to do the second and follow-up film, is as we were traveling around the country doing these screenings of the film, I had four separate law enforcement officers from different agencies come up to me and say, and had said, you know, if it wasn't for watching your movie, I would be dead today. And, you know, that kind of took me back. If for no other reason, just to know that, you know, what you've done has changed an attitude, saved a life, it's extraordinarily rewarding. And I'll share one of the stories with you, and it was an officer from a smaller town out western part of the country, and he said, you know, I sat home one night and I watched your movie. I had ordered it through the Memorial. I was sitting home watching it on DVD, and I was so moved and so inspired, and I kind of caught myself and started reevaluating my approach to the job, and I was so complacent and so lackadaisical in how I went about going to work. And I finished watching the movie, and I said, starting tomorrow, I'm going to start wearing my bulletproof vest again. And he hadn't worn his vest in several years. So he went to work the next day, wore his bulletproof vest. The next week, the following week, he was shot in the chest, and the vest saved his life.
And man, so, that's amazing. That is amazing. So a value of the documentary is that became obvious was you were producing it, creating it for the public, and lo and behold, the subject matter, the subjects in the video, the folks that we all see out there, became a learning experience for them also.
Yeah, and that's very true. We always felt that law enforcement would support it because it's a film that shows law enforcement's plight per se, you know, with the sacrifices, but we did make it for the public because we wanted to change those perceptions and attitudes. And it's been great now that, so many agencies and police academies now are showing this film. Even the in-service training for the officers. And there's some departments around the country that do what's called a citizens police academy, where people in their community can come in and go through a pseudo police academy, and they're being shown the film as well. So it's become a valuable training tool to really combat complacency, because in our line of work or the military, complacency can kill.
You know, it's funny you talk about complacency. One of my guests, a gentleman named Andrew Sherman from a show, I guess two, three shows ago, we talked about complacency. And we were talking about it in a business sense, but actually complacency is probably he called it a cancer. If it's not addressed properly and quickly and dealt with, can lead to, there isn't a good outcome that complacency can be affiliated or associated with. And especially when people are putting their lives on the line, complacency is something that there shouldn't be any room for as we go along. Well, we're coming up on our break here for the end of this segment. And when we come back, with Bill, we want to talk about some of these perceptions or misperceptions that the public may have had that caused Heroes Behind the Badge to be produced. So stay right there, and we'll be back in a little bit. Thank you.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big. Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting chrisruisi.com and clicking the book.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Okay, we're back, and thanks for staying around with us. This is getting really good. Bill has been making some interesting points on the whole law enforcement career and the professionals, the men and women who go out there every day and literally put their lives on the line for us, and what our perceptions or misperceptions are of what they do. And when we were chatting before with Bill, he talked about the fact that one of the reasons for producing the films Heroes Behind the Badge was to address in some of the misperceptions of the public, and that even went as far as saying that the general reaction to the films have been, that's a real eye-opener. So, Bill, what were some of the misperceptions that caused the film to come about?
Well, you know, truly, everybody's got a lot of perceptions or what they believe really goes on in law enforcement from what they see on their television and what they watch on TV, what they watch in the movies. You know, I can tell you that, like with the news media, you know, if it bleeds, it leads on the nightly news, and oftentimes the perceptions and what's actually shown by the media isn't always the full story. You know, sometimes there's videotapes of certain things that go on, and they show 20 seconds of what's a 2.5 minute taped video, which really answers the question. So it was really a need, and it was something, again, that, you know, we partnered with the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. I think so many people are shocked to know there's 20,000 names on that wall in Washington. There's a lot of people in this country that have no idea that there's a national memorial for the fallen law enforcement.
Oh, yeah, you can count me as one of them. This has been a very eye-opening experience for me.
So I think it was important to do these films. It was important to open some eyes and to be a bit of a wake-up call. And it's been important for law enforcement. These two movies have truly been something that law enforcement has embraced and endorsed in so many ways. And I can tell you that I've had officers come up to me and say, this is the best portrayal of our lives as law enforcement officers that have that's ever been made. And I want to recognize some people in regards to making
sure.
that statement. I mean, we're talking about me here, and, you know, yeah, I had 26 years of law enforcement experience in Miami, so, you know, I had that to help the film along. But we had some tremendous people that worked on this. Wayne Derrick is our director. He directed both films. Wayne's a two-time British Academy Award-winning director that's actually in China today as we speak. He's working on a film there. He's an amazing guy, very, very talented. One of our cinematographers, Allison Lusby, is a four-time Emmy Award winner. These are people that worked on this film, and both films actually, and did it out of love and out of support. And the voice of both of our films, our narrator is Vincent D'Onofrio, and people may not recognize the name, but you may remember him as the lead actor in Law & Order Criminal Intent. He was Private Pyle in Full Metal Jacket. He's been in a number of other films and television shows. But, you know, he's a huge supporter of law enforcement. And when we were filming the first documentary in Washington, D.C., we were at one of the weekly events there called the Officers of the Month, Officer of the Year Banquet, and Vincent was in attendance. He shows up every year on his own dime to attend and show his support for law enforcement. And when he knew that we were doing these movies, he had come up to me and said, you know, I want to be the voice of your film. And I was a little taken back and surprised, and he came up to me a little bit later that day and said, look, I wasn't BSing you. I'm serious. I want to be the voice of your film, and I'll do it for you for free. And, you know, with a tight budget and everything else, and just plus with, you know, his name and his support and position in law enforcement, it was a no-brainer at that point. So he attends some of our screenings. We've got a screening coming up at the end of the month on February 28th in Salt Lake City, and he'll be there for that one and attends from time to time when his schedule permits. So, you know, some really talented people help to make these films what they are.
Yeah, I mean, you don't move a project like this without the support of people who are passionate about the subject matter, which is true of really anything where people have decided that, again, you know, the basic premise of the book that I wrote, Step Up and Play Big, was that it doesn't take a lot of extra effort to be above average. And our law enforcement professionals demonstrate that every day. And as you said, the general public doesn't always see that or even appreciate it. One of the quotes that was on the website, we have some quotes that rotate through, and this was in line with the comment you just made before about, I guess, someone who came up to you after the film was viewed that said that was the best portrayal of their lives. But the quote that struck me was, it's not how these men died that made them heroes, but how they lived. Can you explain that a little more?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when you raise your hand and swear to that oath and you put a badge on, you know, it's not just discrediting yourself, it's discrediting everyone else that wears that badge and all of the people that have laid down their lives prior wearing that badge. And, you know, the fact of the matter is there's a few bad apples in every walk and every profession out there. Unfortunately, the media and too many times the attention is given to, you know, the bad apples occasionally rather than all the good deeds that go unnoticed or unrecognized. And so that quote actually is inscribed on the walls at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. And it
okay.
is about really how you live because, you know, you're held to a higher standard. You know, you, Chris, are doing this radio show. If you leave the radio show today and go and get a DUI, chances are you're not going to lose your job. You know, if you're a law enforcement officer and that happens, there's a good chance you're going to lose your job. You get into an altercation with your neighbor because your neighbor is dumping garbage in your yard and you get into a fist fight with him. You know, you could have repercussions at your job. You know, he could make a complaint or gets back, and, you know, whereas that may not have any effect on your average person's job, because that happened outside of their scope of employment, where a law enforcement officer, their scope of employment is kind of considered 24/7. You know, you're on duty all the time, and I can tell you, you know, it's a requirement here that everyone carry their firearm when they're off duty. So whether you're going to a restaurant or you got it in your backpack as you're going to the beach, you know, there's a higher degree of responsibility and expectation that while you are a sworn officer, that you have to adhere to.
You know, it's interesting when you say that, you know, where you guys are, men and women, are held to a higher standard, which I think many of the people in the public just kind of take that for granted, and will use that higher standard as an opportunity to take advantage of a law enforcement professional, as you said, into a spat with a neighbor or something like that. The you mentioned before, we were talking about the films, that there were many lessons learned from it. What were the top two or three learnings for you personally from this project, from the point you started it to up until today?
Learning lessons for me personally?
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to say, you know, I sat down and interviewed all of these people in both films. And in these movies, you're sitting down with children, spouses, family members, work partners of these people, and you are asking them to relive the worst days of their lives, the worst experiences. And one of the things for me was how emotional the making these movies was, quite frankly. I mean, some of the people that would just break down, and, you know, you're having to ask these difficult questions. And I was surprised that I was as emotionally affected and as personally vested into these stories as I ended up being. I can tell you that some of the lessons that I've learned, you know, there's an officer, his name is Jimmy Kuzak from the Pittsburgh area, and we'll be doing a screening. Quite frankly, this is interesting. We're going to be doing a screening in Pittsburgh on April 5th, actually at Heinz Field, where the Pittsburgh Steelers play.
Okay.
And we're doing it on April 5th because it's the anniversary of Jimmy's shooting, where he was shot 5 times, and he's currently paralyzed and in a wheelchair. And one of the lessons I learned was from him. I've got to say, here's a guy, a very athletic guy in great shape, goes to a home invasion. It's a drug house. There's a rape taking place. The two suspects in the house, one of them has got their gun in a 8-year-old boy's mouth. You know, it was a bad scene, and Jimmy ended up saving those people's lives, but as a result was shot 5 times and isn't in a wheelchair. So getting to the point here, he is such an amazing spirit and has such an amazing positive attitude that was a lesson learned for me. That here's a guy whose life in a heartbeat changed from being an active, athletic type of guy to being restricted to a wheelchair, and he's just got the best positive mental attitude. And I think sometimes when you get a little down in the dumps and think, you know, poor me, you know, that's an inspirational story to think about.
Yeah, you know, our first guest on the show was Colonel Gadsden, U.S. Army, who was a double amputee from Iraq. And he took the position that he didn't question why it occurred, because he was there, you know, serving our country on his own choice. He took the position, well, now what? What do I do with this? Do I sulk? Do I let this change my life? And as I said to the colonel when we chatted on the radio, you know, he made the choice to step up and play big in terms of making a difference in his life and what he wanted to do to make a difference in the lives of others. And I would imagine that that officer is doing the same thing in terms of taking what was a catastrophic situation for him and using it to, as an example for others, to, as you said, hey, my life ain't so bad when I consider what happened here, and let's keep moving forward. Okay.
Thanks.
We're coming up on our next break in about 15 or so seconds. And what we're going to do when we come back, which will be our last segment, by the way, I'm going to talk more about the two films and what's next, and move on to how the second film was different from the first. So we'll be back to you in about a minute or so. Stay there.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book. Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And hello, everybody. We're back for the last and final segment with my guest, Bill Erfuth. And we're talking about Heroes Behind the Badge. For more information on that, they do have a website. And towards the end of this segment, we'll ask Bill to talk about it. But it is heroesbehindthebadge.com. And my website is chrisruisi.com, where you can get information about me, my book, my Monday morning wake-up call. My book, as you all know, is Step Up and Play Big, How to Be Exceptional in 8 Simple Steps. And if there were ever examples of people who are exceptional and who step up and play big, it's those folks who make the decision to serve in a variety of capacities, but our subject today is in the area of law enforcement. Nobody comes to their door and says, hey, you're going to be a police officer or a border patrol officer or whatever the case may be. These folks make the conscious decision to do it. And I, for one, have learned a lot today, especially about the memorial in Washington, D.C. So, Bill, let me ask you, how is the second film different from the first?
Well, they're two similar films, but different in a number of ways. You know, the first film really focused on line-of-duty deaths, and there were 5 segments of the film, and these documentary films are 90 minutes long, shot in full HD, beautiful films, but the first one really about line-of-duty deaths, and the second film we moved it a little bit towards more of a focus on officers that had been critically injured in the line of duty and survived. And The focus was to tell those stories, but also to show that, you know, your will to survive and your will to live can be stronger than perhaps the injuries that you've sustained. Because in law enforcement, in the military, and in life in general, whether it be a gunshot wound or a car accident, there are numerous people that die from less than lethal injuries because they go into shock or they don't know what to do. And if you have the mindset to survive, the will to live, and the will to fight back, you can oftentimes overcome those things. Now, one of the stories that we have in the second film is a state law enforcement officer from Moab, Utah. And his story is amazing. It's also one of the most spectacular, beautiful places in the country, some place where you'd never really expect some heinous crime to take place. And he was just up at a trailhead in the mountainous area there of Moab, Utah, and he approached a car where somebody was sleeping in the car, and they had an exchange, and all seemed to be going well. And the next thing you know, the guy got out and shot Brody 9 times.
Wow.
Two of the rounds were stopped by his bulletproof vest. 7 other rounds entered his body. Ultimately, all said and done, he lost 12 pints of blood, which I think is all the blood that your body holds, and, you know, was pumped back into his body. But the most miraculous thing about Brody's story is one of the rounds entered his torso. The slug actually penetrated the heart. The heart miraculously belched the slug back out of one of the heart chambers and sealed itself. The surgeons afterwards marveled at the fact that that had happened and really couldn't quite explain it. But in the movie, Brody takes the viewers step by step through the shooting. He actually gets on the ground and rolls around and shows how he had to crawl and roll back to his police vehicle to call for help, and how he lost consciousness and laid there and nearly bled out till he was rescued. But it's just an amazing, heroic story. And so there's a number of stories like that in the new film about persevering and surviving and overcoming and adapting. And it's inspirational in some ways, but it's an eye-opener and very educational as well.
Yeah, persistence, adapting in order to survive and succeed are critical points for everyone, but especially for folks whose job can... The word routine cannot be used to describe what a law enforcement officer does on a day-to-day basis. Bill, what's next for you folks?
Well, I'll tell you, we've got a lot of people asking us if we're going to do a third Heroes film. It's a little bit too early to say. There's been some conversations that should we do another film, we might actually expand it to include police, fire, and military. So we're talking about it. It's a little too early to say. We have to see how this film goes, and we need continued support. And the greatest challenge really about these films is we can get the message out easily enough within the law enforcement circles, but we need to reach out to the general public as a whole and get more people to see these movies and change more perceptions and more attitudes. You know, as far as the company goes, we have a couple of things in negotiation right now with the Discovery Channel on unrelated type of television things, and I've got something in the works with NBC and a couple more movie opportunities. I think Bad Boys 3 is in the future, coming up one of these next couple of years. So always.
So you're busy.
Busy. Yeah, keeping busy.
Good for you. Now, the name of your company is Modern City Entertainment, for those of you who want to know. The website is heroesbehindthebadge.com, and I would urge you all to go there to learn more about what we've been talking about today and understand and get the right perception, if you will, on what the members of our law enforcement community do on a day-to-day basis. That may not be that obvious to each one of us, but it's good to know that they're out there. Bill, you've been a great guest, and I want to thank you for your time and contribution here today. The show will be available on a recorded basis within the next hour or so, or within the next 24 hours. And I want to end today my rant on focus. Now, there's always more things you can possibly do, and the biggest challenge that all of us have is that there's never enough time to get done everything that we want to get done. So staying focused on your priorities allows you to get things done, and it's really the toughest challenge we all have. Many mistakenly believe that I can multitask, and the fact is multitask is multi-dumb. And one day I'll tell you about a real live multi-dumb experience that I went through. So I want to give you 5 simple steps that you can take in order to stay focused, to get the right things done, improve your productivity, and move yourself ahead. In other words, step up and play big. So number one is start each day with a question. And that question is, what is the one thing I must do today that will get me closer to my goal or desired result? You work on that thing first. Now, if you haven't got a goal, you can't do that. If you haven't got a vision, you haven't got a goal. So know where you want to go. The second step in terms of becoming more focused is know how to identify your high-value activities or projects from all of the other things that take place. Those high-value ones are the things that keep you moving forward. Next, you want to create a plan each day to allow you to work on the high-value task first. Even if it's only part of a major project, get part of it done on a day-to-day basis. Number four is get in the habit of taking periodic timeouts, a 10-minute break, and use that time to change the scenery, maybe physical and mentally, and clear your mind to give you the opportunity to validate you're working on the right stuff. And last but not least, learn to say no to those trivial things that drain you of your time and focus. You know, the shiny object syndrome. Gee, I'll try that. That looks good. And you find out that that was a waste of time. So again, thank you all today. For more information, my book, Step Up and Play Big, How to Be Exceptional in 8 Steps, my website, chrisruisi.com, and of course, Heroes Behind the Badge. You've all been great for listening. I appreciate it. See you next week, and thank you and goodbye.
Thanks for tuning into the show, Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week.